Take a seat. Diane's going to come and read for us, and then Martin will preach to us.
The Bible reading today is taken from Romans chapter 13, verses 1 to 7. Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of one in authority? Then do what is right, and he will commend you. For he is God's servant to you to do good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword for nothing. He is God's servant, an agent of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also because of conscience. This is why you pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing. Give everyone what you owe him. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honour, then honour.
In Psalm 12, David writes, "The words of the Lord are flawless, like silver refined in a furnace of clay, purified seven times." Loving Father, please help us to hear your words now and to do them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. How would you describe your attitude to authority? Perhaps it's resentful, and you really don't like being told what to do. In fact, if someone in authority tells you what to do, you're more inclined to want to do the exact opposite, and you're certainly going to grumble about it. Or perhaps your attitude is more compliant. You do what you're told unthinkingly. You wouldn't dream of questioning those in authority. Or perhaps it's a bit more indifferent. You'll do what you're told if you have to, but you're just as happy not to do it if you can get away with it. See, how you and I relate to those in authority is a vital issue. And it's one that Paul addresses in our reading this morning from this letter to the Christians in Rome. And it's tied up with our worship of God. Chapters 12 to 15 of Romans are all about our worship of God. And we can see that if we remind ourselves how chapter 12 began. In verse 1, Paul wrote this, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, that is his goodness to us in sending his Son to die on a cross so that we might stand before him perfect, free from accusation, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual or reasonable act of worship." Paul's shown us that worship involves our whole lives. We're to worship God 24 hours a day. And in chapter 12, he's shown us a number of different areas in which we are to conduct our worship of God. Someone has put it this way, in the area of not thinking too highly of ourselves, we are to worship God. In the area of using the gifts God has given us, we are to worship God. In the area of sincere love for one another, we are to worship God. In the area of relating rightly to our enemies, we are to worship God. And today we come to the area of relating rightly to governing authorities. And that too is an area in which we are to worship God. It was an issue for the Christians in Rome during the time of Nero, and it continues to be an issue for us today. And it's worth noting in passing that these verses are sandwiched between two passages that are concerned with love. And it follows on from chapter 12, verses 9 to 21, whose headline is "Love Must Be Sincere." And it comes before chapter 13, verses 8 to 10, about love for our neighbour. Well, that suggests that our attitude to authority should be, in some way, an expression of Christian love. And the basic command is that Christians are to submit to governing authorities. Paul gives us two reasons why that should be the case, and then he gives us some applications. So firstly, he says, submit to human authorities because they have been established by God. That's verses 1 and 2. Secondly, he said, submit to human authorities because they exist for our good. That's verses 3 to 5. And then thirdly, he shows us that we must submit in all sorts of ways. That's verses 6 and 7. So then firstly, Paul says, submit to human authorities because they have been established by God. That's our first heading. Please look down at verse 1 of chapter 13. Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Well, notice that Paul addresses this command to each of us. Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, he says. So this applies to each one of us sat here this morning. It applies to all of us. We're all to submit ourselves to the governing authorities. That word submission is to do with order. It's to do with our appropriate response to the order in society. So when I recognise that there is a right order in society, then I will voluntarily and willingly take my place under the authority of others. I will submit to their authority. But I guess we might think of submission as a more negative word. Perhaps we think of a wrestler beating a submission out of his opponent. We might think of Big Daddy or Giant Haystacks, if you can remember back to those days. I'm afraid I don't watch WWF or WWE, but I'm sure their names are more gruesome these days. Perhaps we might fear that to submit to another is to devalue myself. That submission is demeaning. But what Paul's talking about here isn't something that should be beaten out of us, and neither is it something that devalues us. And to see that, we just need to think about the relationship in eternity between God the Father and God the Son. Jesus tells us in John's Gospel that he was sent into the world by his Father and that he willingly obeyed. He tells us that he does only the works that his Father has given him to do. Jesus submitted himself to his Father's authority. So he says in John 8, verse 29, I always do what pleases him. Yet the Bible is clear that the Father and the Son are both equally God and are equally to be worshipped and glorified as God. To submit to another doesn't reduce my value. It simply shows my acknowledgement that there is a right order in society and my willingness to deliberately place myself under those set over me. And for the Christian, our reason for submitting to those authorities is that it is God who has established them. For Paul says, There is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. See, God is utterly sovereign over his world. And there is no authority except those he has established. So Paul isn't just speaking about Christian authorities here. Primarily, he has governments in mind. But his words apply to every kind of authority, whether in the home, or at school, or at work, or in the community, or in the nation as a whole. There is no authority except that which God has established. Now, of course, those authorities might not recognize that, and they may even dispute it. But if God has established all authority, then as a mark of my submission to the loving rule of God, I will submit myself willingly to the authorities that he has put in place. And equally, if I rebel against those authorities and fail to submit, then I am rebelling against God. And unsurprisingly, I should expect to be punished. Verse 2. Consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. So I wonder whether you've ever seen that parking ticket as God's judgment, or that fine for returning books late to the library, or for not having a valid TV license. See, it shouldn't be the case that people can say of Christians that we have a problem submitting to authority. Our worship of God and our desire to live new lives under his rule will be seen in our willingness to submit to the authorities that he has set over us. So that's the first reason Paul gives us for submitting to authorities, because they've been established by God. Secondly, he says, submit to human authorities because they exist for our good. A second heading. Please look down at verse 3. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and he will commend you. For he is God's servant to do you good. But if you do wrong, be afraid. For he does not bear the sword for nothing. He is God's servant, an agent of wrath, to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also because of conscience. God has put authorities in place to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. That is their mandate from God. And notice how Paul describes them. They are God's servants. He says it twice in verse 4. He is God's servant to do you good. And again, he is God's servant, an agent of wrath. That word translated servant is deacon in the original language. It's the same word used to describe someone who's a servant in the church. It's a title that Rachel Browning uses, deacon. It's striking then that it's how you and I are also to think of Amber Rudd, our MP, and our local councillors, and the community support officers on the streets. They are servants of God, or deacons, albeit in a different context to Rachel Browning. See, God governs his world through governments and local authorities and police officers and teachers and so on. They are God's servants to reward good and to punish wrongdoing. And if you are a police officer or a teacher, well, that is how you should think of yourself. And notice too that the governing authorities are agents of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. In chapter 12, Paul wrote, "Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, 'It is mine to avenge. I will repay,' says the Lord." Well, ultimately, that will mean trusting that God will put all the wrongs that you and I suffer right on the day of judgment. But nonetheless, in this present age, the normal way in which God pours out his wrath on the wrongdoer is by the punishments administered by those in authority. To leave room for God's wrath means, in the first instance, to trust our case to the authorities over us and not to take the law into our own hands. So if someone commits a wrong against you at school, let the teacher deal with it. If it's on the football pitch, let the referee deal with it. If it's at work, let the boss deal with it. If necessary, let the police deal with it, or the legal system, and so on. Of course, those authorities are imperfect and make mistakes, but nonetheless, the governing authorities are God's servants to do good and the agents of his wrath. And the alternative to government is anarchy. Just think of the situation in Rwanda in the 90s or in Kosovo. We were shocked to read reports of men and women who were shopkeepers and school teachers and bank managers, but who, when civil order collapsed, were burning each other's houses down and massacring each other. The state is there as a good gift from God to reward good and punish evil. Without it, there would be anarchy. But we might ask, well, what about bad governments? Or more accurately, what about evil governments? We might object that verse 3 isn't true. Rulers often do hold terror for those who do right, and reward those who do wrong. Think of Christians in Amin's Uganda, or Yung's Korea, or Mao's China. Well, there is an exception, but it is just that. It's an exception. When the authorities ask Christians to do something that would deny our worship of God, we're to defy them. We might think of Peter before the Jewish Sanhedrin, when he was ordered to stop preaching about Jesus. What did he say in Acts 5, verse 29? "We must obey God rather than men." We might think of Daniel's friends who refused to bow down to the golden image made by Nebuchadnezzar and were thrown into the fiery furnace. Or think of Daniel himself, who defied the order to pray to no one but King Darius. And what did he do? He prayed to God 3 times a day. And was thrown to the lions. The Bible testifies that it is God who sets up all governments and rulers, even the bad ones, and they ought to submit to him. When they fail to submit to him, the command of God always takes precedence over the command of government. So when governing authorities ask us to do something that would deny our worship of God, we worship God. When the government asks us to defy God, we respectfully defy the government. And if necessary, we take the punishment. But that is the exception. At all other times, we're to submit. Even imperfect governments restrain evil to some degree and prevent this world from descending into anarchy. And so we are to submit to them. Remember, Paul was writing during the time when Nero was emperor. The leaders were idolaters. Taxes were collected for dubious purposes. The entertainment was gladiators in the arena. But even there in Rome, Paul says, the Christians were to submit to the governing authorities. That's the rule. God has placed authorities over us for our good. And so even though they may be imperfect, we are to submit to them, because that is God's will. Verse 5, therefore it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also because of conscience. Well, having given us two reasons for submitting to those in authority, Paul then moves on to application. And we see from what he writes that we must submit in all sorts of ways. Our final heading. Please look down at verse 6. Paul writes, this is also why you pay taxes. For the authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing. So here's the first application. Christians will pay their taxes because they know it's the right thing to do. In the Roman Empire, taxes were excessive. Sometimes they were misspent. Yet, the Roman Christians were to pay their taxes, and to do so with a good attitude. And likewise, today, Christians shouldn't be tax dodgers who work cash in hand and fail to declare our income on our annual tax assessments, or who fail to pay the TV license fee. And verse 7 takes that one step further. Give everyone what you owe him. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honour, then honour. See, Paul is moving from the specifics of paying taxes to the general obligation to respect and honour all who are placed over us in God's gracious ordering of society. Our submission to those in authority is a practical example of honouring other people. And it's therefore an expression of love. We show proper love towards our governments and those in authority over us by showing proper submission. Isn't that a strange thought? That good citizenship is an expression of love. But it's true. And that means showing as much respect as we possibly can to those in authority. We may not agree with all the views of someone like our MP, Amber Rudd, and we have the right to tell her so, and to protest and lobby for change. But we must always do so with respect and honour. And Paul tells us elsewhere, as Rachel reminded us earlier, that we should pray for those who are over us, that they might understand why they are there and who has put them there. You may remember how we are asked to pray in the Book of Common Prayer, that God will so rule the heart of thy chosen servant Elizabeth, our Queen and Governor, that she, knowing whose minister she is, may above all things seek thy honour and glory. And we'd show respect and honour to all who are over us. So we may not like the fact that a traffic warden has just written us a ticket, but we are to show them respect nonetheless. If you play football or rugby, you may not like some of the decisions the referee makes. But you are to show him respect. If you're at school, you may not get on with all your teachers, but you're still to treat them with respect. You may live in a part of town where people's attitude to the police is fairly negative, but you will be distinctive in treating them with honour and respect. Why? Because that, Paul tells us, is how we show our worship of God. True worship is 24 hours a day and 7 days a week. It involves every sphere of our lives and includes our attitude to authority. So let's be people who submit to human authorities, because we recognize that they are established by God and exist for our good, and because we know that it brings glory to God when we do. Let's pray. Loving Father, we thank you that in your goodness to us, you have set authorities over us as your servants for our good and to punish wrong. Please help us to honour them and submit to them, and so bring glory to you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
They're going to sing again, and we've just heard that God is the highest authority. He's the one who gives authority and delegates it.